Aftershocks by Alexander Burns was originally published by Everyday Fiction on the 22nd of May 2008. The story is read by Mem Sherlock and licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works. Aftershocks. No matter where she pressed her face against the floor-to-ceiling window, Padre Iago could still see the corpse reflected from the carpet behind her. Beyond the window, downtown lay in ruins. Occasionally, a building shivered with aftershock, but the worst of the quake was done. Padre saw people wandering in a daze on the cracked and buckled streets, 35 floors below. "Ever wonder why they call it jaywalking?" she said, her thick Welsh accent slurred with her lips pressed against the window. A fellow paramedic, an American named Andrew, stood against the far wall. His lower lip had swollen noticeably, and a bruise already coloured his jaw. "Can't say I have," he said. "I bet it's named after the first person who did it." "Like a disease?" "Yeah, J. Smith, busted for jaywalking." Andrew rocked on his heels, gaze twitching between the body at the center of the room and Padre. "So, who committed the first homicide?" Padre slid to the floor, her neck hurt. "Mr. Murder. Mr. Bob Murder." Nearby, a girl named Anne, aged 13, huddled over her unconscious mother. She wiped ineffectually at a thick smear of blood across the woman's forehead with a ragged strip of gauze. The corpse was of Dr. David Trawles, a private practice pediatrician who had joined the medics as they scrambled through the city in the midst of the earthquake. Trawles lay on his belly, his white button-down shirt soaked crimson. A hefty letter opener jutted from his back, a few inches from his spine. Padre's training informed her exactly what had happened as the blade punched through his left lung, but she shut it out. Two business executives, the only other survivors on this floor, staggered into the office's open doorway. One leaned heavily on the other. "What the hell?" rasped a tall, portly executive man named Rich Hammond. "What the hell? It's been 5 minutes. My friend almost killed himself on the stairs out there. He needs a doctor." Andrew stared into Padre's eyes. The injured executive, Ken Sloan, a short man in an ill-fitting suit, thrust one finger at the female medic. Did she do this? She's covered in blood," he cried. "We're both covered in blood," Andrew said. He sounded tired. He was right, though. Their uniforms were smeared with the blood of all the people they had failed to save all day long. Padre felt tears in her face and shirt, but wasn't sure if they were hers. The businessman limped across the room, and Sloane sat heavily on a huge desk, gripping his chest. He coughed, blood spotting his lips. Padre suspected massive internal bleeding. Her legs ignored half-hearted orders to stand. "That's my letter opener," Sloane wheezed. He stared at the bloody handprint on his expensive desk. Hammond crossed the room, stepping around the dead doctor to kneel beside Anne. He kept the two medics in view. "Hey," Hammond said. He grasped the girl's shoulder. Anne flinched, throwing her arms across her mother. "Hey, look, sorry, but you have to tell us what happened." "Let her be," Andrew said. "She's just a kid." "Then you better start explaining," Hammond said. "How did our only real doctor end up dead? We go to check on the stairwell and we come back to find this shit." His voice quivered. "This is some shit. Where did you get that bruise? It looks like someone tried to take your head off." "Settle down," Andrew said. "The more you move, the worse your injury will feel." "What the hell are you talking about?" Sloane demanded. "Look, this handprint here, it's right where I kept my letter opener. It's too small. It's too small to be you." He pointed at Padre. "It's got to be her." "What are you, Columbo?" Andrew glared. He stepped over to the desk. "Let me take a look at you." Sloane spotted him away, nearly keeling over with the effort. Padre pulled herself to her feet, a severely lightened first aid kit tucked under her arm. "Sir, you might have some serious internal..." "You're crazy!" Sloane shouted. "Sir, you need to calm down," Andrew said loudly. Padre saw the medic's pale skin, the sweat, the slight shake in his outstretched arm. "Calm?" Hammond yelled. "The stairs are gone. The stairs are gone and we're stuck in here with a goddamn killer." Padre heard sirens, faint and distant. It would be hours at best before rescuers would struggle through the chaos in the streets and make their way up to the top of this skyscraper. Anne gently shook her unresponsive mother. Dr. Truls, Padre heard herself saying. Got a phone call. His cell phone, his wife. He was so happy. He put her on speakerphone. She was alive. In all the shit going on out there, she was alive. The baby was okay. The house was okay. Everything was going to be okay. Padre swallowed hard. She knew now whose tears soaked her sleeves. And then we heard something crack, and a big crash, and a scream. My God, Herman whispered. We listened as the doctor's house collapsed, Padua continued, and crushed his wife and 2-year-old son. Sloane toppled over, gasping. Andrew leapt to his side. Hammond and Padua stared at each other. He went mad, absolutely berserk, Padua continued, throwing things, hitting us, hitting everything. She tilted her chin so that Hammond could see the purple welts blooming along her throat. He was going to kill us. Hammond's shoulders sagged. I'm sorry. If you'll excuse me, sir, we need to tend to your friend. Padre urged her feet to take her to the desk. She paused to consider the bloody handprint, too small to be either hers or Andrew's, then dropped her first aid kit over the print and went to work.